Well, today's last two lines from the Gospel of John have indeed caused quite a bit of controversy throughout the last 600 years, especially between Protestants and Catholics, and in light of Vatican II, perhaps even more so. What we have there in those last two lines is the word disbelief and the word wrath of God. So it's not so much, you know, the first part of the saying, you know, is pretty clear. If you believe in Jesus, then you will be saved. You will have eternal life in virtue of your salvation. But then those last two lines, if you disbelieve in Jesus, then you will have the wrath of God upon you. Boy, it really is important to understand exegetically what disbelief means and what the wrath of God means. What does disbelief mean? It does not mean that you did not believe. The word dis is really important. I mean, the prefix dis is very important here. And the reason it's important is it's the word really in Greek is not unbelief. It's disbelief, and that is a very good translation for once. And of course, it's absolutely amazing, you know, as you know, that it comes out so beautifully. Disbelief has intention embedded in it. Unbelief does not. It's very ambiguous. And a lot of people have translated the word right in, you know, may epistos, you know, the unbelief or disbelief. They've translated it as unbelief. And so the problem is, right, that when you see it, you go, well, wait a minute. What about this person in, you know, Indonesia or something? And he never heard about Jesus. And he didn't believe as a consequence. I mean, is he just going to hell? Because, you know, he just didn't hear? Is that the idea? I mean, what about all these people who lived before Jesus? Are they just out of luck? I mean, born in the wrong place, born in the wrong time. Too bad for you. You're going down into the pit. You know, is that? Absolutely not. That is not the case either in the Gospel of John, because there are three very important mitigating passages in the Gospel of John. I've written a whole chapter on this in God So Loved the World, chapter 7. But the main thing is there are three mitigating passages in the Gospel of John, and the important factor is that the Greek really signifies intention. It's disbelief in God, a rejection of Jesus. Indeed, a knowing rejection of Jesus. The Catholic Church has made it very clear in its constitution, its dogmatic constitution of the Church, Lumen Gentium, that every single group of people born in India, born before Jesus, born, you know, in Antarctica, it doesn't matter. If you are trying to follow God as best you can, according to your education and according to the best prescripts of your conscience, you too can be saved by the by Jesus Christ's death and resurrection and be brought into the eternal life of Jesus Christ. So disbelief means then not unbelief because of an accident of birth. Not unbelief because you just never were catechized properly, right? And there are lots of people, even in this culture, who've heard about Jesus and were catechized horribly, right? They might have been catechized in a way to believe that, you know, Jesus came down to reveal not the father of the prodigal son, but Jesus came down to reveal the terrifying God who is just completely indifferent to your salvation. And he's sitting up in heaven going, Spitzer, heaven, hell, oh, hell, and to heck with you anyway. And of course, nobody cares. Of course, a person like that could reject Jesus unknowingly. So it has to be a knowing rejection of Jesus. That's what that fundamental word disbelief, translated well, really means. And that kind of a rejection, a knowing rejection, therefore has to be a rejection of everything that Jesus stands for. That's a rejection of love, a rejection of the Beatitudes, a rejection of the Ten Commandments, a rejection of submitting oneself to the moral authority of God. If that's the deal, yes, that rejection really puts salvation in jeopardy. What does the wrath of God mean? It does not mean a hissy fit on the part of God. It doesn't mean adolescent rage up there on the part of God. It doesn't even refer to emotions of God. It has nothing to do with the emotions of God. Wrath of God is a very technical expression used throughout the New Testament, sometimes in John, and a lot in St. Paul. It means this: the just judgment that we are due because of our sins before God. The point, of course, is for St. Paul, Jesus Christ has rescued us from the just judgment we deserve because of our sins and has brought us, despite our sins, into his own light and eternal salvation. He has overcome the just judgment we deserve, even though it's called wrath of God. And even though wrath can mean, orge can mean anger, it has that very important judicial technical use in the New Testament throughout. So don't associate it with God getting really mad up there, right? It's not that at all. It means the just judgment we deserve for our sins. So what John is saying in those last two lines, I know you should get theology credit for this, is that if we knowingly reject the loving God, right, if we knowingly reject what he stands for, terms of love, the Father, the prodigal son, the Beatitudes, and putting our trust and faith in him, trying to subscribe to his moral authority, if we knowingly reject that, right, not out of weakness, but out of full consent of the will, then, says John, we are going to be judged because we've rejected the Savior, we've rejected the one who loves us. We'll be judged according to our own sins by ourselves, because we rejected the very person and the source of salvation knowingly and intentionally. So John says, this is important, everybody. Don't knowingly reject your Savior, because then you're on your own. And if you're on your own, you'll be subject to the just judgment according to your sins without Jesus. And if that were the case, you better be concerned, because, of course, you've opened yourself up into trying to save yourself without, of course, and at the same time, rejecting the very source of salvation that can overcome, forgive, and mercifully heal all of our sinfulness. And John says, that's a problem, and we should be aware of it, and of course, do everything within our being to counteract it, to remain within the mercy of God. For then surely, says John, we will be saved. Amen.